Cool. Morning. It's amazing to be here and to celebrate Phoebe particularly, and to give thanks for her, and to, I guess, offer her back to God, who she came from in the first place. We're good friends with Sean and Helen, or we like to think we are anyway. Maybe they'll have a different opinion. But they're great guys, and Phoebe is an incredible baby. We're big fans of her. You know, she's got an amazing smile. She's got just the chubbiest cheeks you have ever seen on a child. It's incredible. And what's with that backwards crawling thing? Is that new, or is that right? Okay, yeah. She learned that off Daddy, coming in at night. Anyway, sorry. I'm there already, aren't I? Okay, getting evil looks off the wife. Okay. However, I say we're massive fans of Phoebe. However, I don't know if she's the greatest baby who ever lived. It's a hard one to judge, isn't it? I'm gonna need some PowerPoint now. Flounder without the pictures. Okay, so I googled greatest baby ever born. Got a picture of this. That's one of the world's biggest babies. He's there. He looks like he's just about to have a little snack there. So the world's biggest baby, again, great baby. Okay, that's the most rolls on a baby's skin that I've ever seen. I don't know about you, but it looks like the Michelin man has some competition there. Is that the greatest baby? It's hard to know. Definitely when it comes to rolls, it's a winner. Got another one if we can get the video to play. It's kind of moving into toddler territory here. But this kid's got soul. But he's seriously playing with some pretty impressive pocket there for a one-year-old. Cool, I think that's probably enough of that. He'll outshine us all. Okay. By the way, didn't Hannah do an amazing job this morning on drums? First time. Great job. Don't know where she's gone. She's hiding, but great job. Okay. So I guess thinking about the greatest baby, and I guess I just felt like actually maybe the greatest baby ever born should be judged by their accomplishments throughout their life. And I guess if we're going on that, then I'd say the greatest baby is the one whose birthday we celebrated last month. It's the guy who we've been singing about a lot this morning. It's, of course, Jesus. It is, for me, the greatest baby who's ever existed. Definitely probably one of the most famous as well, apart from, probably the most famous. So what I'd like to do is take a few life lessons from the greatest baby who ever lived and speak them to Phoebe. She's not even here, is she? It's pretty rude. But anyway, she'll be hearing me on the PA somewhere. And we'll be recording this, I'm assuming, although it might be deleted as soon as it's finished. But I want to give four life lessons for Phoebe from the greatest baby who ever lived. And hopefully, Sean and Helen will get something out of it too. Hopefully, all of us might get something out of it. But anyway, I'll be as brief as I can. But I want this to be for Phoebe when she's growing up. You know, she's going on holiday to Mars, listening with her space headphones on her hoverboard. You know, and as she's thinking there, she can maybe listen to this message back and hopefully get four principles that I've took out from the greatest baby who ever lived. And it's my prayer, Phoebe, that you live the best life possible and you grow into the best that God has for you. And that's what I'm going for with these principles. So, principle number one from the greatest baby who ever lived for Miss Phoebe Sankey is this one: pursue purpose over happiness. Okay? So we're already starting a bit contro. We'll look at the Bible a little bit. This is what I like to base my life on. So we're going to turn to Isaiah 53. This is talking about kind of prophesying before Jesus even came about the type of guy he would be. It says, who's believed our message and who has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took our infirmities and carried our sorrows. And it goes on about just the grief that this greatest baby who ever lived would come across in his life. Now, I think in some ways, it's unfair to say he was unhappy. I think he had a lot of times of happiness in his life. There's definitely a lot of joy that when you read about this guy, Jesus, that you can pick up. You know, he was a funny guy. He was popular. People flocked to him. Thousands of people came around to hear him speak. So you don't tend to get that if you're just a misery. So people don't tend to go for that. They want a bit of a, you know, pick me up. So I would say it's unfair to say he was an unhappy guy. But I would say that his own happiness was not his main goal in life. I feel like a lot of the time in society today, that is what we're told to pursue. Go for happiness. You want to be happy. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But what I would say, Phoebe, and the rest of us maybe, is that if that's the only thing we're trying to achieve, that can lead to insular thinking. It can lead to us trying to constantly strive for something that's unattainable. And the goalposts for what that happiness looks like will keep changing. I was reading an article last night that said, the more we try and be happy and we make that our goal, the less we actually feel it. Because it's a feeling and it can go and come. I would say Jesus, this guy we're talking about, knew his mission. He knew what his purpose was. And his purpose was, how can I make the world a better place for everyone? Rather than how can I make the world a better place for me? And I'm constantly challenged by that as a parent. You start to think about the sort of life you want your kid to do. I want my kids to be happy. I really do. And when they're not happy, that makes me unhappy too. But I want them to grow up feeling like their purpose in life is more important. Them making the world a better place is more important than the rest of the world making it a better place for them. If you look in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, I'm going to just run to these quickly, so don't worry if you can't get to them, although I'm struggling here. There we go. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says that, let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For that joy that was set before Jesus, that joy was me, that joy was you. That joy was what he went through the cross for. And Phoebe, when Jesus hung on the cross, he wasn't happy, but he had purpose. And he was thinking about you. And the purpose of bringing you home to your Father in heaven is what kept him there. And that, and he saw a joy, as this verse says, set before him, which was you. And that is what kept him there. And I would encourage you, Phoebe, and go for purpose over happiness. All the bad stuff that happened to Jesus was nothing compared to that joy that was set before him. Okay, number two, we'll move on. Who you are is more important than how you look, which is good for people like me. We live in a society that heightens the importance of image, and I can only guess that it will increase as Phoebe grows up, as our kids grow up. Social media is a particular thing, is the latest thing. We're under a lot of pressure to put across that we're living the dream life. We're living that life that everyone else wants to live. I fall into this trap so easily as a musician. I do a lot of playing kind of around different points. You can guarantee I'm a lot more likely to Instagram the post where there's, you know, 6,000 people at a field singing along to what I'm playing. Probably won't be Instagramming the time I'm tucked into a corner at a wedding when everyone's hammered and falling into my laptop. But they're both a reality of my life. You're under pressure to make every gig look like Wembley Stadium. Most of my gigs are not Wembley Stadium. They're the car park outside. They're the toilet, you know. But as I say, the fact is, In this day and age, we're living through our own reality, but we're looking at everyone else's highlight reel. And, you know, I've worked with a few people who you might have heard of. I say a few people, probably one person, actually, you might have heard of. I don't wanna, again, I'm presenting, aren't I? I'm presenting that perfect image. I've worked with one person particularly who a lot of people look up to, but she doesn't have the perfect life. But a lot of people think she does because they see the highlights that are presented. And as I say, that's the pressure we're under, I think, with social media, to look like, to present ourselves well, to look good. The fact is, who you are is much more important than how you present yourself. Have you ever gone to the dishwasher to empty it and you take the top bowl off and it's sparkling and you're like, oh, this is, thank you for my dishwasher, Lord. And as you take it out underneath, it's not been rinsed properly, and it's full of gunk, and that's still stuck on there, and it actually is worse than when it went in. I think Jesus must have had this problem too. Probably not with a dishwasher, I'd imagine. But you could tell something like this must have gotten his nerves. He says this. This is Matthew chapter 23, verse 25. He says, "Woe!" He's talking to the kind of guys who were a big noise at the time, who liked to look good, and like to look like they were doing the right religious things. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness." And it kind of goes on like that for a while. Not very nice for the scribes and Pharisees, but they put this pressure on everyone from the image they like to present, that they had the perfect lives. And they were more concerned, even though they were meant to be the religious teachers of the day, they were more concerned about what people thought than what God thought. They were more concerned about the image that they presented than who they were inside. And I'd like to say to you, Phoebe, care about what God thinks, not what men think. You know, Jesus knows all our hearts, and actually that's what is the most important thing we can strive to improve. Rather than our image, nothing wrong with looking nice, but let's focus on what's inside first. A guy who we used to, a team where me and Laura met, the guy who used to lead that team, he used to say, "God can do anything through someone who doesn't care who gets the credit." And one of the most impressive things to me about Jesus is that he was someone who didn't have anything to prove to anyone. He just was him. He was just who he was. And he didn't particularly mind if people liked him, if people didn't, if people agreed with him, if people didn't. He was just who he was. And, you know, there's so many times, again, when he hung on the cross for me, for you, for Phoebe, that he could have just come off and showing everyone, "Look, you know, I'm actually God. Look at my powers." And you know, smote them all. But actually, he knew, again, that joy set before him. He said to his Father in heaven, "Not my will, but yours be done." So I'd say, Phoebe, care about what your Father thinks in heaven, not people. Number three, and I know this isn't a quote directly from Jesus, but it's kind of what the sum up of what he said probably throughout a lot of the Bible, is money is a great servant, but a terrible master. And what I'd say, Phoebe, is let you use money. Don't let money use you. Money can be something that can really take hold of our lives. Jesus probably talked about money more than probably anything other than the kingdom of heaven. And that's because it's a big deal for us. Let's have a look at what he had to say about it. Let's look at Matthew 6. Okay, and verse 19, Jesus says, "Don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. "No one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money." And I think When Jesus was saying this, he was thinking about all of us and how easy it is to fall into that trap of relying on money. But actually, money is a servant, it's not a master. It's a tool to be used to, again, make the world a better place. It's not something that's there to be hoarded up and stashed away. We're taught, aren't we, by society, you know, get all you can all you get, and compress it down and squirrel it away, and then one day you might have something nice. But again, it's the goalpost that's always changing. How much is enough? I remember someone saying to me, and this was quite a few years ago, he was like, the thing is, if I don't get commission on top of my sales salary, I'm only on 50 grand a year. And I was like, that to me, especially at the time, was a lot of money. And I was like, whoa, if I had 50 grand a year, I would probably feel exactly the same as I do now, that it's not enough, because it's never enough, is it? Okay. Again, it's not a bad thing to enjoy money, to enjoy the things that it can do, but it's a tool to be used. And this is one thing that me and my wife particularly have learned, is the bit that Jesus says just after this in verse 25. He says, don't worry about your life, what you eat, what you drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, reap, or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And don't worry about your clothes. And it talks about how flowers are clothed in an amazing way, even though they don't spin their clothes together. So don't worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, but your heavenly Father knows all these things before you need them. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. There you go, Phoebe. Be encouraged by that. Each day will have enough trouble of its own. We're yet to see that on a fridge magnet. But it's in the Bible. Okay, and actually, yeah, you know what? We've been through all sorts of ups and downs together, even when I've been on my own as well. But one thing we've found is whoever's name is on the check, God is our provider. 8 months ago, I was in a place where we were like, how are we going to pay the bills? Today, I'm in a place where I feel like I've never been so blessed financially, and that might change tomorrow. But whoever's name is on the check, God's our provider. Whatever your income is, keep being generous. Whatever your lifestyle is, keep being that person who just loves to give. Because actually, that's one thing I love about Sean. He's the first to the bar. You know, when you go in, a pub or somewhere else, more suitable, cafe. He's always the first there. He's always got his wallet out. He's like, yeah, come on, I'll get these in. And again, don't do that if you can't afford it, because that's worth it. But trust God to be your provider, Phoebe, and be a generous person, and know that whoever's name is on the check, God is your provider. Money's a great servant, it's a terrible master, but God is an incredible master, and it's a privilege for me to serve him. Okay, last one, pursue God's kingdom above everything. Got a little video which I found for this one, if we can get it to work. Got all the masters at the back, technical masters. They do an amazing job. Here we go. Takes a little while to get into it, so here we go. If you want the Bible reference for this, it's Matthew 13. And it's verse 44. And it says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold everything he had, which includes a cow there for some reason. And he bought this field. And the treasure was his forever. Doesn't actually say that in the Bible, but that's the implication. Cool. Thank you, boys. Cheers. Let's give a hand for the lads at the back, shall we? They do a great job. You know what? Pursue God's kingdom above everything, Phoebe. Richard, pursue God's kingdom above everything. Life Church, pursue God's kingdom above everything. The treasure that was hidden in the field, that story about the guy who just stumbles across this thing and he finds it, he digs it out, and he's like, that's amazing. It's worth everything. It's worth so much more than everything I've got. So he buys the field, and inside it is the treasure. I think that's the most amazing analogy that Jesus told. You know, a lot of time when I speak to people about following Jesus, they focus on the things they have to give up. Oh, well, if I did follow Jesus, you know, I wouldn't be able to, I don't know, you know, smoke weed. Or if I did follow Jesus, you know, I wouldn't be able to continue the lifestyle I'm living. If I did follow Jesus, you know, he'd make challenges to me about money or about, you know, things like that. Following Jesus is definitely not cheap. And as I said before, at times it's cost me everything I've had. You know, it's cost us having people in our home and invading our space. but they've turned out often to be a great blessing. But it's cost us, you know, a lot of money. We've given a lot away, and we've been privileged to be able to do so. It's cost us certain things that might be fun to do for a short amount of time. But following Jesus isn't cheap, but you get Jesus. And that is the one thing I'd say to you, Phoebe. If everything else goes, but you've got Jesus, that's a huge thing. That's a huge thing. You've lost nothing. I always think about when people have a lottery ticket, that's the winner. If someone has a winning lottery ticket, they don't get sentimental about handing it in for those millions of pounds. That because they know what that represents. They know that lottery ticket represents this fortune that will be theirs. I would say to you, Phoebe, your life is a gift from God. But cash it in. Cash it in for God's kingdom. Live your life for God's kingdom. Pursue God's kingdom above everything. It's not cheap, but if you've got Jesus, that is worth everything else that you could ever give up. It's worth everything else you could ever give up. You know, Jesus, I don't want to get too much into the everything Jesus offers because I've not got time, but, you know, in John 13, he says, you know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and life to the full. You know, and not just life in this life, but for eternity as well. If you've got Jesus, that's worth everything you could give up, Phoebe. If you've got Jesus, guys, that's worth everything we could give up. I just want to recap really quickly what we've just said. Four life principles from the greatest baby who ever lived. Pursue purpose over happiness. Who you are is more important than how you look. Money is a great servant, but a terrible master. Pursue God's kingdom above everything. Let's pray, shall we? Lord God, I pray you will open our hearts to your message. Thank you that you are that treasure in the field that's worth selling everything we have for. I just want to pray for us. I want to pray for Phoebe. And I want to pray that we will, God, live our lives with your purpose, with your integrity, with your attitude to finance, and with your kingdom pursued at the center of it. If you can just close your eyes for a minute longer, maybe something I've said has resonated in your heart. Maybe it's something that actually you feel like, whether you've been here 5 minutes or 5 years or 500 years, maybe something about that pursuing God, and you feel like maybe that's not me, but that's something I would like to know more about. It'd be amazing if you could just lift up your hand and I can pray for you, and we can maybe get someone to chat to you afterwards as well. Is there anyone who just feels like, I just want to know more about pursuing God? Awesome. Well, let's pray. Father God, I just ask you for people in here who've been given this opportunity to follow you. I just pray that we may do that with our whole hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Cool.